The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and today is Friday, March 15th. It is 6 p.m. Eastern, and we are going to give everybody just a moment to hop onto the broadcast. We are live here on Facebook. We want to give everybody just a moment to hop on here. And I'm really excited about this two-part series on a message entitled The Rise and Fall of Lucifer. The Rise and Fall of Lucifer. So, again, if you're just joining me tonight, again, I'm Ricky Scarpello, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome all of our Facebook Live audience. Again, if you're new to the broadcast, please let us know below. To let us know that you are indeed new or this is your first time. Let us know where you're joining us from and so on and so forth so that we can acknowledge that you guys are indeed here new to the broadcast. Again, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience that will be hopping on here. We want to welcome our YouTube audience as well. And again, tonight we're going to be dealing with a subject entitled The Rise and Fall of Lucifer. The Rise and Fall of Lucifer. So in this particular study, we're going to be dealing with several points here that we're going to talk about. So I'm going to pull up these main talking points. Again, it just gives everybody more opportunity that are live here on Facebook to hop on here. This is going to be our main talking points that you see here tonight. Who was Lucifer? Where did he come from? What was his position? Why was he expelled from his position? Who was expelled with him? And where is he now? And I can actually put another one up there that I didn't put up there, and that is, what is his destiny? So, again, these are going to be our main talking points that we're going to be dealing with tonight when we get into this particular subject. So let's start out. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I want to give you a chance. If you have a Bible, I'm not going to pull all this entire passage of scripture because it's a lot of scripture reading, but we will put the, I'll put up the scripture that you can see so you guys can follow along with me. And it's going to be right up there on your screen. It's Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Again, I want to say that again, Ezekiel, you can see that right there on your screen. If you guys are watching, you guys that are listening to my podcast, it's Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19. If you want to follow along with me there on podcast, I'll be reading from the New King James. And here's what it says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Again, this is the prophet Ezekiel saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfection and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. And I'm going to prove to you this is not a physical man. Some interpret this as an individual or a person, but that's not the case. And we'll break this down. You were in the garden of Eden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day in which you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, and you became filled with violence from within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you. You, O covering cherub, all this is going to come into play in this study, guys. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom from the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you, and it turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw him or saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now, this passage actually, what's interesting about this passage actually agrees with another portion of scripture, which is found in the book of Isaiah. So if you want to turn there with me, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. You guys on podcast, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Now this is the prophet Isaiah, not Ezekiel here. This is Isaiah, and you're going to discover what he says here dovetails or correlates exactly with exactly what the prophet Ezekiel mentioned about this individual named Lucifer, this anointed cherub. Listen what it says in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. That's a prophetic word right there. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Again, notice it says in Isaiah 14, 15 through 17, the prophet says that this anointed cherub in heaven who, and we're going to talk about this more in detail, gets sin enters his heart, pride enters in. He makes these blasphemous statements. In fact, let me pull this up here on the screen here so we can read this. I want to show you the five I wills of Lucifer that got him expelled from heaven. Here's the five I wills that got Lucifer expelled from heaven. Number one, here's what he said. I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. And number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. So all these are five blasphemous statements by Lucifer. Notice he said, I'm going to raise my throne above God, above the stars of God, above the mount. I will sit among the mount of the congregation. I will sit above the stars of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself in the same position as the Creator who created me. How naive and arrogant and prideful that Lucifer would say such a thing. And here's the thing, guys. Take note on this. Because if these five things got Lucifer cast out of heaven, I'm going to tell you something. These five things will keep you out of heaven. Oh, I'm going to say that again. If these five things got Lucifer cast out of heaven, what makes you think that you can have these five things in your life and get to heaven? If you think you're going to have pride and arrogance and think that you're above everybody, you're above reproach, you're full of pride, you're full of arrogance, it's all about you, you're not willing to humble yourself, come on, somebody. And you try to make yourself, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but it's in the way but in the end, it's the way of death. In other words, there's people out there, you know them, I know them, they're probably in our family, they're probably people that we work with, people that we know, our neighbors, friends. We've got people that don't want anything to do with God. They don't want to give God a chance because they believe they've got everything squared away. They don't need God. They've got it all figured out, and they're going to be their own God. And Lucifer thought he had it all squared up. He thought he was above reproach, thought he could have things the way he wanted it. He thought he could be above God, make himself equal with God. And God said, nope, that's not going to happen. And again, he was ousted from heaven. Now, right there on your screen, I want to read 17 facts about Lucifer. 17 facts about Lucifer that we can pull from the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Isaiah. Again, 17 facts about Lucifer that I want to pull up from the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Isaiah. Here it is. Number one, I'll try to go slow so you can follow along. Number one, the Bible uses a masculine pronoun to identify this being. He's not a man. It identifies a masculine pronoun, him, he, as Lucifer or Satan. Now, why is that important, and why do I have to elaborate on that? Because you and I both know that Hollywood, people who don't know God, they don't know the word, even Christians who don't know the word, they will even, they even try to insinuate, well, you know, we there's nothing in the Bible that says that Satan is a man. It could be a woman. It could be, and I've heard people assume and even teach this Satan is a female or a woman, and that's absolutely unbiblical. So number one, the Bible uses a masculine pronoun to identify Lucifer or Satan. Number two, the Bible says he was the seal of perfection in God's eyes. Think about that. Number three, he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Number four, he was in Eden, the garden of God. Okay? Now, I propose to you in the beginning, this is not the Eden that we read about where Adam and Eve was, though he was there in the form of a serpent. But this Eden that Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about is in heaven, the garden of God. Because you do realize that Moses got a replica when the Lord gave him a revelation and he began to create the tabernacle of Moses. And then you had the tabernacle of Solomon, you had the tabernacle of David. But nevertheless, Moses made a replica of the tabernacle. He created the tabernacle, what we call the tabernacle of Moses. Had the outer court, inner court, holy of holies, had the furniture in there, had the holy laver, had all the furniture in there, had the Ark of the Covenant that housed the presence of God. Everything that Moses created was a replica of what already existed in heaven. So there's a garden in heaven, which is called paradise. Paul saw this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Go read it in your Bible. It's in the New Testament. There is a paradise or a garden of perfection in heaven, but God made a replica of it on earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there was a God, there was an Eden in heaven or the garden of God, and Lucifer was in that garden in the beginning with God, and that's where he was cast out of. All right, number five. The Bible says he was covered with precious stones as his breastplate. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Number six, he was created with the workmanship of timbrels and pipes. In other words, he had percussion instruments that was created in him. That's very interesting. And we'll talk more about that in a second. Number seven, he was the anointed cherub. Again, not a physical man, as some say he was. I had someone on my last message, I talked about a little bit about this. and I talked about Satan, and I talked about him being an anointed cherub, and I had someone try to argue with me that nowhere in the Bible does it say that he was an angel or a cherub. Wrong, it does. It's right there in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah 8. Lucifer was on the holy mountain of God in heaven, not on earth. Number 9, he walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Where was this at? It was in heaven. Number 10, he was established by God himself. Lucifer did not create himself. Demons don't create themselves. God created Lucifer. Number 11, he was perfect on the day he was created. Number 12, he allowed iniquity to be found in himself. Iniquity came in him. Who allowed it? God allowed it. He permitted it, but it was found in him. And your Bible says why it happened. All right, number 12, or 13, I'm sorry. He became filled with violence and filled with sin. Here it is. Number 4, and this is again, when he allowed iniquity and violence and arrogance and pride to enter in, this is what qualified him no longer to stay in heaven, because the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus took his own blood as the high priest and had to go. Oh, you don't want me to get into this because it'll take 30 minutes. And I'll go into this on my next segment, because that's why I said there's going to be a two-part series. I'll explain to you why Jesus as the high priest had to go to heaven and take his own blood and purify heaven and the articles of the furniture in heaven. I'll tell you why. Because sin did not originate in the garden on earth. It originated in heaven. How's that for being deep here? Now listen to this. I got to get through this right here. He was 14. He was cast out from the mountain of God. Number 15, his position in heaven was destroyed by God. Listen to me, friends. Lucifer cannot be redeemed. I'm going to pull, most of you guys have seen this already, so I'm going to pull this off so you can look at me for a second. Lucifer cannot be redeemed. Satan cannot be redeemed. Demons, fallen angels cannot be redeemed. The only creation that can be redeemed is humanity. Why am I saying that? Because there is a false doctrine out there called universalism that is so tainted and corrupt that these men teach that even Lucifer himself can be redeemed. That even Satan himself can be redeemed. And that's absolutely not biblical at all. Number 16, his heart became lifted up in pride from his beauty. So here goes, more sin entering in, right? Number 17, he corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. Let me say that again. He corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. In other words, he became full of pride, guys. He became full of arrogance, and it superseded his wisdom. Remember, the Bible says even Solomon, who was the most wisest man in all the earth, he was full of wisdom. And when God asked him, he said, "I'll give you anything you desire. What is it to do? What is the one thing you desire?" He says, "I want wisdom." And God granted it to him. But here's the guy who is called the wisest in all the Bible, who had over 1,000 wives, and that wasn't very wise, because along with those wives came false and foreign gods and ended up entrapping him. It ended up getting him in bondage. So how many believes that's not very wise? All right. Now, I'm going to pull up some more stuff here so you guys can follow along with me. The Bible says he was an anointed cherub. An anointed cherub. So what is a cherub? Have you ever asked yourself, what is a cherub? A cherub is an angel that was created by God with many faces. Now there's a picture here with these, there was two cherubs on the Ark of the Covenant. on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, as you can see right there on this picture. But this is really, I know it's a faraway picture, but it's not really a good depiction of this, because in reality, this angel had many faces. Because you remember Ezekiel talked about there was the face of an eagle, a face of an ox, a face of a man. There was four different faces, and this is what a cherub was. It was an angel that had many faces, multi-faced angel. This is what a cherub was. Cherubs were first mentioned in the book of Genesis. They guarded. They were set to guard the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve was expelled from the garden. You can read that in the book of Genesis. There was two cherubs that were made of gold. It was placed on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. That's what you're looking at here on your screen. There was an anointed cherub, again, mentioned by Isaiah and Jeremiah, who is Lucifer. And here's what's interesting about this, guys. The Bible calls Lucifer an anointed cherub. He's the only cherub and only angel in the entire Bible that is given the term anointed, the anointed cherub. And it says he was the anointed cherub who covers. In other words, it implies here, by the Hebrew understanding of this, means the word cover here means to stretch out the wings. In other words, this Lucifer, in his original intent of creation, or when he was created to be an anointed cherub with a particular purpose of a covering or protecting what seems to be the presence and glory of God. Wow, think about that. Now, what shook me up about that, guys, is here is someone who was created by God to be the covering of the presence and the glory of God. He was perfect in the day in which he was created, but yet he fell. So this is why I don't put any flesh and blood man or woman on any pedestal. I don't care how holy they are. I don't care how godly they are. I don't care what kind of reputation they got, how many years they've been in ministry, how many degrees they have. I don't care how many years of school of theology they've been through, or whatever, how many churches they built, orphanages they planted. They are not above reproach. And anyone on any given day can fall. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I wanted to throw that out there because to me, that's profound. I think that is really profound. Now, speaking of being profound, check this out. Let's go back to a description of Lucifer. It says that when Lucifer was created, he was created with every precious stone in which was his covering. Now, what's interesting, and it mentions right there on your screen, these are the precious stones that was the covering of Lucifer. The sardis stone, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald, the gold. Now, what's interesting is, if you do a study on this, these precious stones are the same stones that are found on the breastplate of the high priest of the Old Testament. So you want to know, if you want to get any idea of the ranking of Lucifer, this will give you some indication of this. Remember, he was called the anointed cherub. He was called the anointed cherub, one who covers. And we've kind of went over this now. It seems it implies that he was created as a covering for the glory and the presence of God. And he wore this what looks to be like a high priest breastplate with these precious stones. So Lucifer had a high ranking position in heaven. So that deems the question of this, here's the question we got to ask ourselves. Where is Satan today? So we know the Bible says that, behold, I saw Satan cast out like lightning. He was, we've established this, that Satan was cast out. And the Bible says that one third of the angels were cast out with him. A third of the angels and Satan was expelled from heaven. Now, why were those angels expelled from heaven? Because they took allegiance with Lucifer. And God said, okay, you want to line yourself up with this rebel, with this defiler, then I have no choice but to expel you as well. And they were expelled from heaven. So we've established this by now. So now, where does that leave? Let's go present tense, present day. Where is Satan today? Well, the scripture says in Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, listen to this. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, somebody say sons of God. This is not human beings. This is not flesh people. These are the Hebrew word is B'nai Elohim, and it implies angels of God. There was a day when the sons of God, or the angels of God, this is the same word, by the way, found in Genesis chapter 11. I'm sorry, Genesis, let me correct that. Genesis chapter 6. This is the same term, sons of God, found in Genesis 6, that went into the daughters of men and produced an offspring called giants, Nephilim, the men of renown. It's the same word. These sons of God, there was a day they came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, where is the Lord? In heaven. Where is his throne? In heaven. Because you got to follow along with me here, guys. And Satan, notice he's no longer called Lucifer, but now he is defined as Satan. So let's recap this real quick. There was a day when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, which we established now, this is in heaven, before the throne of God. And Satan with them, this lets me know that these are not angels on God's side. These are angels that have aligned themselves with Satan, aka Lucifer, and they came with him. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where do you come? Now listen to Satan's response. So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth. Listen to me, friends. Watch this. If there's people now, I've heard teachers teach this is not in heaven and these are not angels of God here. Okay. Why would the Lord ask Satan, where did you come from? Where do you come from? Why would Satan say from going to and fro on the earth if he was already on the earth to begin with? He wouldn't have to answer such a silly question. But if they were in heaven and God said, where are you coming from? And Satan said, oh, I'm going back and forth on the earth. Then it makes perfect sense in the context of what I'm telling you. Listen what it says here. And then the Lord spoke unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Why did he say, have you considered my servant Job? I'm going to pull this off here, guys. And you could just, we pulled that up again. We're in Job chapter 1, verses 62, 12. Why would he say, have you considered my servant Job? Answer, because Satan was on the earth looking and seeking who he would destroy. You want scripture for that? I'm going to pull that up. Watch this. All right, again, we were in Job 1, 6, and 8. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. He's blameless, upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. Have you considered him on the earth? Now look at this passage in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. This absolutely correlates with Job 1. I'm going to give you a second just to pull this up here. because you've got to read this. It's not enough. You just hear this. I want you to read. This is why we put these up here for you, so you can have these as a point of reference and study them yourself. Look what the Apostle Peter wrote about Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that word adversary is another term for Satan. Your adversary, the devil, in case you didn't believe that, he makes it plain here, walks about where? The earth, guys. He's walking about the earth. Why is he doing that, Brother Ricky? Well, look what Peter says. He's walking about the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what his intent was when he came before the throne room of God with angels that were on his side who rebelled against God. His intent was to devour Job. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Listen to this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, again, this is powerful. But can I show you something even more powerful than that? Some of this went right over your all's head. Here's what I love about it. Now, what are we talking about? Where is Satan today? What is his goal? What is his purpose? What is his intent? Where is he at? What does he have access to? That's what we're talking about right now. But don't miss this. Oh, I love this. You ready for this? I love the fact that Satan had to get permission from God before he could touch a man of God. Oh, you didn't. Come on. I got to say it again. Satan and his angels. Satan's angels, his entourage, his regime, had to get permission from God Almighty before he could ever touch the man of God. So every attack that you and I go through, every temptation, every attack of the enemy, you got to know something. It did not go unnoticed by God. It didn't slip through God's calendar. It didn't slip through God's notice. It didn't slip under the radar. God knew it, and Satan had to go before the throne and ask for permission to touch you. Remember, Jesus told Peter, your Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan came before the Son of Man and said, I desire to come after Peter. And Jesus gave him permission and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. And that's the second part I want to tell you is, you say, well, what kind of God do we serve if he's going to give permission to the devil to whoop up on me? Guess what? I got good news for you. If Jesus is permitting it and Jesus is allowing it, it also means that Jesus is praying for us because he would have not allowed Job to get attacked by Satan if he didn't know that Job was going to come out on the other end looking better than he did when he came into the fight. And I know this is a teaching, but I just want to preach here for a minute that every attack, every assignment of hell, every trial and every tribulation that you and I go through, and Satan is directly involved, I just give God the glory because I praise God that I'm a threat to the kingdom of hell. Listen, I'd be worried if I'm not even a concern or a threat to the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of hell. But the fact that I'm a threat to the kingdom of hell, the fact that you're a threat to the kingdom of hell means there's something on the inside of you that poses a threat to the Satan and all the powers of the darkness. And the good news is that Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit, the intercessor on the inside of you, Romans 8, is praying for you. And you and I and all of our other brethren and sisters with you are praying for you as well. And you are going to come out on the other side of this thing. And God probably will, because his word based it on a point of reference with Job. You're going to come out with double for your trouble on the other end of this thing. So I got to get back to the teaching, That was some preaching there, but we got to get back to this thing. What are we talking about? We're talking about, where is Satan right now? Where is Satan right now? All right, Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah. Listen to this. Listen what Zechariah said. I'm going to pull this up here on the screen. This is Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him." Notice this: Satan is directly involved with opposition and accusation and hindering. Satan is a master of hindering, opposing, and adversity. He's a master of it. And again, you can see this right here in Zechariah. And now I want to show you something here. The Bible mentions many terms for Satan. And I'm going to list many of these names right here. I'm going to pull these up here on the screen so you can see them. Here we go. Names of Satan. Look at this. When you go to the Old and New Testament, these are all terms used, given to Satan. Ready? He's called the accuser, or the accuser of the brethren. He's called the adversary. He's called the angel of light. He's called the beast. He's the first beast in Revelation 13 that rises up out of the great sea. He's called Beelzebub, the prince of the Lord of flies, the prince of demons. Belial, deceiver, devil. Dracon, or dragon. He's called the enemy. He's called the evil one. He's called the father of lies. He's called the king of the bottomless pit. He's called the lawless one. Leviathan is a term given to him. He's called liar, Lucifer. He's a murderer. Excuse me. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the ruler of darkness. He's called the ruler of this world. The ruler of this world. I always say that he's on work release. God has given him a time frame of rulership over this world. He's called the serpent of old, the son of perdition, the fallen star, the tempter. He's called the thief. And again, and last but not least, he's called the wicked one. Now, I want to give you some more good news. Look at this scripture in Luke 10, 18, 20. We went over this a while ago, but I want to read this. Luke 10, 18, and 20. "And he said unto them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." This is the expulsion from heaven. This is where the Gospel of Luke talks about this. But look at the next verse, guys. Luke 10, 18. Look at Luke 10, 19. "Behold, I give you," that's you and I, the Lord speaking to us, "behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Oh, come on. If you ain't shouted yet on this message, this should make you shout right here. Notice he said Lucifer fell from his position. He fell from his place in heaven. He was stripped of his authority. He lost his seat, his position in heaven. And not only that, but Jesus told the gospel writer of Luke that, "Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by no means shall hurt you. And he says, don't even bother. He says, it's not enough to rejoice that spirits are even subject to you. He's given us the authority over devils to cast out devils. Come on, somebody. Why? Through the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you some more stuff here, guys. Again, we're still talking about the role of Lucifer right now. What is his role right now? What is his role right now? We've got some scripture here for you. 1 John 3:8. John 8:44, John 10:10, James 4:7. Listen to all these. These are all the manifesto of Satan. This is 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Listen. Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, but guess what? Jesus went to heaven. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us, the church, the authority over the devil and the works of Satan. Come on, somebody. John 8:44. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees who were operating out of the influence of Satan. Listen to what he says, John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. They try to say that they were of their father, Abraham, but Jesus said, no. You are of your father, who is the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Because he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Wow. For he is a liar and the father of it. John 10:10, the thief comes not except but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And then James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we don't deny that the devil's there tempting us. But notice, I'm not going to take this scripture out of context like many preachers do all the time. And they quote, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you can't resist the devil if you're not first submitted to God. Because if you're not submitted to God, you're not walking in fellowship with God, not walking with God, and you don't have the authority to resist the devil. Come on, somebody. That's what we're talking about here. So now, let me pull this back here real quick. James, let's go to Revelation 12. I'm going to pull this up here too in just a second. Revelation 12. Notice what it says here in Revelation 12. Let me pull that up. I want to, again, here's another, it gives you another identity of Satan. All right. You've heard me say he was the accuser of the brethren, right? You've heard this term. Where does this come from? Well, it comes right here from Revelation 12:10. Listen to this. Revelation 12:10. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, who accused them before our God. Remember, I told you that Job, that's what he was doing. He was coming before the throne of God and he was accusing. He accuses us. He brings up our sins. But if they're under the blood, come on, that's why you got to put them under the blood. That's why you got to get saved. That's why you got to get redeemed. That's why you got to get born again. Because once you get those sins under the blood, the accuser can't accuse you. He has no grounds to stand on. Because the Bible says that God cast our sins as far as the east from the west. He remembers them no more. Amen? Listen what it says. Then it says, the accuser of the brethren who accused him before God day and night has been cast down. All right. So again, he's the accuser of the brethren. Now listen to this. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God. And this is a deep passage of scripture right here, God. Guys, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. I want to say that last part again. The whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. We have to remember this every single day that we go outside of the four walls of our home. We go out into the public arena. We go to work. We go wherever we go, and we see people acting the way they do, swearing the way they do, dressing the way they do, carrying out acts, disgusting acts and abominable things that they say and things that they do. And there's no fear of God. Remember, they are all under the sway of the wicked one. Let me bring another scripture up here that dovetails right off of this. And this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this verbiage here that the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. And you he made alive, speaking of you and I who are born again, who was dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. We once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is that? That's Satan. The spirit who now works, now, present tense, to this very hour, he's still working in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once, past tense, again, if you're under the blood, this is past tense. We also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. So again, I want to reiterate this. We all once walked. Guys, for 23 years, I did. For 23 years, I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I was being led by him. I was being influenced by him. I was allowing him to speak through me, act through me. I was carrying out fornication, abomination, just wickedness, blasphemy, the Lord's name, and all these things. For 23 years, I served the prince of the power of the air. But on June 2nd of 2000, when I said yes to Jesus, when I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to come into my heart through the Holy Spirit, he washed me and regenerated me, and I became born again. And now all that is past tense. And now I'm currently present tense, walking out my salvation with fear and trembling, walking through a process that the Bible calls sanctification, to be set apart for the work of God. All right? Now, so we have Satan, but the bad news is it's not just Satan, but Satan has an army that he orders, and they are under him and work with him. And I want to show you that. That's going to be over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. Finally, my brethren, again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, the plots, the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Again, when you again, when you study this in Ephesians chapter 6 and the latter part of this passage, you discover that that Satan has a rank of demons under him, and it tells you their ranks. There's principalities, there's powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. I'm going to break this down here real quick. The Greek word, these word here, the principalities, let's start with that. This is strong spirits that are assigned over nations and cities. The Bible mentions these in the Old Testament, such as the prince of Grecia and the prince of Persia. Remember Daniel the prophet dealt with the prince of Persia when he was fasting and praying. The angel wrestled with this prince of Persia to get his breakthrough for 21 days. So you have this prince of Grecia, the prince of Persia. So these are principalities or chief spirits that are assigned over nations and over cities. Then you have powers. These are spirits under the authority of the principalities. So these are just another rank below these principalities, and they work alongside with these principalities. Then you have rulers of darkness. What is this? These are chief spirits that empower people to carry out sinister schemes and evil in the earth. Oh, come on, somebody. I think we got a lot of them up in the, we got a lot of them in the White House. We got a lot of them in Congress. We got a lot of them in our workplaces. We got a lot of them in high places of technology, social media, entertainment, Hollywood, the music industry. We've got rulers of darkness that are operating everywhere, and they're working through flesh and blood to carry out the purposes and the plots and the schemes and the assignments of hell. When you watch all these celebrities and these musicians and these people of Hollywood, and they're always they're demonstrating what we call these depictions or these signs. And we like to use these terms called Illuminati or New Age or New World Order or the influence of just different things. All these are just terminologies to define the rulers of darkness that are operating through them. So I hope that makes sense. In other words, they're just mere puppets being used by Satan because they're not born again. They're not saved. They're puppets being used by rulers of darkness to carry out the purposes of Satan. Remember, guys, he's called the prince. Let me pull this back here. He's called the prince of the power of the air. So that tells me right there that Satan, if he's called the prince of the power of the air, guys, he's got rulers of darkness that have been assigned to the airwaves through radio, through satellite, through internet, through television, through social media to carry out his purposes. All right, then you have spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And these are agents of the rulers of darkness carrying out assignments of hell. So notice how all these coincide with one another. Just like in the military, you have ranking officials. You have sergeants, you have generals, you have admirals. You just have different ranks. Captains, depending on if you're in the Navy or in the Army or the military, you have different ranks. And depending on the rank that you're in, you have certain authority and you have certain jurisdictions and certain things that you can and cannot do. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, when we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what we're up against. That's what we're contending with. All right? When we see all this madness and craziness and all the wickedness that's going on, we're contending with this. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we get near election season and you're really going to see the powers and rulers of darkness and the principalities and the whole nine yard coming out of the woodwork to pull strings like you've never seen before. Now, we're almost done, guys, with this segment here. All right? Now, when it comes to evil spirits or spirits mentioned in the Bible, I want to name a couple of these. Your Bible mentions some major spirits in the Bible. And I'm not going to go through all these because I could go in the Old Testament and New Testament. So I'm just going to name a few of these. Okay. The Bible mentions unclean spirits. It mentions evil spirits. It mentions a spirit of infirmity, which attacks your physical body, and it can produce physical problems or weakness. Because the word infirmity in the Greek, not only does it mean a physical attack, but it can mean a weakness. A seducing spirit, a spirit of fear. Yes, there's such a thing. And a familiar spirit. All right, so an unclean spirit, evil spirit, spirit of infirmity, seducing spirit, spirit of fear, and a familiar spirit. Now, I'm going to pull away from this and I'm going to talk to you a second here. The Bible says, and we're almost done, let's talk about the destiny of Satan. What about his future? What does it say about his future? And before I get into this, we're going to dig into Hades. We're going to talk about the lake of fire, Sheol, and don't get carried up Gehenna. We're going to talk about all that because this is the abode of Satan. This is we're going to talk about the angels that are held in confinement in a pit. They're bound by chains and they'll be released. We're going to talk about all that in our second part. So there's no way we could have fit all that on here. But now I want to talk about, as we're closing with this, let's end this segment tonight dealing with the destiny of Satan. The destiny of Satan. Well, look what John the Revelator saw in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Listen to this. And then I saw, now this is future. This has not happened yet. This has not happened yet. Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3. John speaking. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. And this angel with this chain bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. And he shut him up and set a seal upon him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for yet a little while. So let's recap this again. Satan will be bound by this angel with the chain, be put into a bottomless pit. It will be sealed. He will be bound for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, the Lord will set up his 1,000-year reign as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But after 1,000 years, he will be released yet for a little while. And the question is always arose, why in the world would God release Satan after 1,000 years? The answer is there will be people born during the tribulation who have never, and remember, Satan will be bound by that in that time, so they will never be tempted by him. So God would be unjust if he did not allow those who were born in the tribulation to be tempted. So he has to allow Satan to be released one last time so that he could tempt those that are born during that tribulation period to be tempted of Satan. But listen, I got good news, because in Revelation, if you go down a little bit further, Revelation 20:10, here is the ultimate destiny of Satan. And I want to give it just a moment for you for you guys to catch up here. So it'll be up on your screen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them now this is after he's released from the pit after 1,000 years of being bound. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet are. And they, who's they? Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They will be tormented where? In the lake of fire, day and night forever and ever. And they, then that, my friends, will be their ultimate demise for eternity. And guys, that was a lot. I'm telling you, that is, when I put this teaching together, I told my oldest son, Elijah, I said, son, I bit off more than I can chew on that one, because I didn't realize how detailed this teaching was going to be. But I knew I didn't want to go with it halfway. I wanted to pull out everything about it. So I wanted to go into full detail. So we went into full detail of, again, the rise and fall and the origin of Lucifer here on this teaching. Again, I want to thank you guys today for coming on here and hopping on here. We got a couple things I want to announce to you, a couple things that we want to talk about. Again, if this is your first time joining us, again, welcome. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to follow. That's where you're going to find our main website. That's where you can go to subscribe. You're going to see that come up here on the screen. That's where you're going to follow us to get where you can subscribe to our main website, and you're going to get a daily digest in your inbox every single day. Again, you go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. When you go there, click on where it says subscribe. And you'll just, all you got to do is just type in your email address. I think it's your name and your email address. You click submit or okay or enter, whatever it says there. And you'll get one daily digest in your inbox every single day. And it'll keep you informed of all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Again, we want to encourage you, you guys on Facebook Live, you guys on YouTube, if you've not yet subscribed to our podcast, please go to Spotify, you can go to Apple, you can find our podcast there. It's free. Just download it. And if you're not able to watch us physically, if you're not able to watch us like you guys on YouTube and Facebook, if you just want to listen, maybe you're driving, maybe you're going for a drive, maybe you're going on a plane or flying, or you're traveling, whatever you're doing some yard work, put in your earphones, you're doing some housework, put in those ear pods or whatever, you can go to our podcast and listen for absolutely free when you subscribe to our podcast. Also, speaking of subscribing, go and get our free ETH app. It is absolutely free on Apple. It's free on Android. Just go to the Apple Store, go to the Android Play Store, look for End Time Headlines. Just type in End Time Headlines, click on there, download the app. It's absolutely free. And please give us a good review. When you do that, when you give us a good review, it bumps up our visibility, so that it's easier to find for everybody else. Okay. Also, when you get that app, as you can see there in that picture, you guys that are watching this by Facebook and YouTube, on the very bottom down there, you're going to see all that. You can watch, you can listen, and everything you need right there to navigate. The latest news, everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. Again, there's going to be push notifications where you can subscribe to breaking news alerts. Whenever we alert you, when we send out a push notification, you're going to get that right there in your hand, and you'll be able to see that as well. As always, we want to thank you guys for your partnership and your support of our ministry. Again, all of our messages are absolutely free. This message was free today. It's on YouTube for free. It's on podcast. Our app is free. There's no merchandise, no books, no CDs, no DVDs, no paid subscriptions, no paid app, no paid digest. Everything is absolutely free. All we ask you to do is, if you're blessed, you're informed, you're encouraged by this ministry, you're equipped by this ministry, we ask that you would be obedient, and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we ask that you would do that. And we ask, many of you guys have gone the extra mile, and you become a monthly partner to our ministry, a monthly partner to ETH. And how do you do that? Again, if you've got the app, you go there on the very bottom to the far right at the bottom. You're going to see a little place to donate. You just click on that button. It's going to take you to our main website, and there you'll give an option It's going to take you to that page. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. And again, all that information is going to pop up there for you guys watching this. It's going to pop up there, our physical address where you can give by check or money order to do whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You guys watching by YouTube, all that information, you guys listening by podcast, if you'll just, at the end of this broadcast, there'll be more information on how and the exact details of that will come up as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for this week. And I pray the Lord's blessings upon you. May his countenance shine upon you. May he keep you, protect you, and you're coming in and going out. And until we see you guys next week, again, I pray that you stay safe and be blessed. So again, I hope you've enjoyed these segments and this ministry, and we pray that we continue to be a source of blessing to you in your life and your family and your walk with God. So God bless you. We'll see you next week.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines. Mm-hmm.